You may be wondering, what's a 52 Hertz story? Well, this origin story goes back to 1989, when a whale song was detected at 52 Hertz, a low bass note for the human ear, but higher than typical whale frequencies. To present day, it still remains a mystery. No one knows about the whale that sung that note or why that song was being sung at that particular frequency. But if we turn to ourselves, we might think about how our species, how humans, have also unusual stories, told perhaps in unusual frequencies. What can such narratives and stories tell us about our lives? That's what this podcast is about. 52 Hertz is a podcast that has stories like the 52 Hertz whale song. No personal information is shared. This is a multi-hertz podcast that listens to you and creates a platform for others to hear you and your stories. Today, we're going to talk about loneliness and how it can manifest. And we're joined today by Alex, who will be sharing their story. Welcome, Alex.
Hi, thank you.
The pleasure is really ours. All stories are meant to be heard. I understand that you've recently moved to a new home, a new city. Would you like to share some of that experience with us?
Sure. I think what prompted that move was a fear for my life and a fear for my partner's life.
Wow, that's really scary.
I think it begins, both my partner and I were living in the United States. We were in a particularly conservative community, and we began to feel increasing amounts of discrimination due to our sexual orientation. We begin to feel like outsiders in our own community, and we were sort of worried about what our future was going to look like. And it sort of prompted the move to head up to Canada.
Thank you for sharing. I can't imagine that being a very easy decision to leave from a place that you have called home, to leave on that very sour, perhaps bittersweet note.
Yeah, it's tough for sure. I mean, it's a big job to uproot, and not only to move cities, but to move countries, and to try to build a new home.
So here you are. Is it everything that you thought it was going to be?
The first week was amazing, and then shortly thereafter, some of the problems started to roll in.
Problems? What problems? I thought you ran away from the problems.
No, they have a way of following you. After settling here, the first 10 days were great, working on my master's degree. I received a phone call in the morning from my doctor asking for a fairly urgent appointment.
That sounds ominous.
Yeah, traditionally I've been pretty athletic. I received a couple of scholarships for athletic ability, and I've always taken pretty good care of my body, and I started to get a sort of shortness of breath that wouldn't go away. And my family has a history of cancer, so this is something that you sort of take seriously. So,
yeah, I mean, as an athlete, you always have that heightened sense of awareness about your body, right? It's something that it's like your temple. From the few athletes that I know, they don't, when they're training or competing or in their sport.
Yeah, you're pretty sensitive to your body, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So then what happened next? You know, when the word cancer gets mentioned, what did you do? Did you go for some tests?
Yeah, there were some initial symptoms back in the States. I went for a few, like a bank of initial testing, and we left just after that.
Yeah.
And those results were sent to Canada, and give or take about 10 days after getting here, the Canadian physicians called me with a it sounded like it was serious, and they needed me to come in for more testing.
Well, more testing. I mean, it's just testing, right?
Yeah, in theory.
I sense there's more to it than that.
Yeah, so they did a scan, and there was apparently things to be worried about there, and it basically required that we go for more testing to figure out what was going on. So.
Wow, so there's testing done back in your previous home. There's testing that done initially, and now there's more tests that are piling up on one on top of another.
Yeah.
And you're starting your studies at this time.
Yeah.
So you're going for these tests. What's happening? What are you thinking about?
Well, in terms of the tests, if anything needs to happen, like the Canadian health insurance is important. And I went, and I'm covered through the university, or at least I thought I was. And so when I went to check on that, I went back to the registration office, and they informed me that there was a problem with the registration.
Wait. So here's this pretty significant health crisis. And now when you think that you have coverage in order for you to get to the bottom of what's going on with your body, you're being told that you're not A, not covered, and there's a problem with your registration. What?
yeah, totally. So, I mean, you start seeing problems pile on top of problems. It's at the, you know, when you expect that coverage to be there and then all of a sudden it's not, that's a kind of a scary thing to deal with.
Yeah. Were there any staff or any people when you went to the registration desk that were trying to help you resolve these problems or your concerns?
Yeah, so after going in to talk to the student health manager, they looked at my forms and they told me that basically that they were not going to provide me with insurance and that basically they recommended I just go home.
What?
Yeah. And, you know, they knew that I was from the States, and so they just, for whatever reason, they just decided that that would be the better option, is just to send me back there. So,
how'd you feel when you heard that?
I don't know. How are you supposed to feel? It's obviously kind of crushing to have the health scares and to want to try to take care of that and then find out that your health insurance is not going to come through and, you know, not knowing if I'm still going to have health insurance back in the States. And yeah, it's difficult.
So then, Alex, what happened after that? Like, what did you do?
This is kind of when the second of the problems happens.
Wait. Another problem? Yeah. On top of these other issues with registration and health insurance, there's more to your story?
Yeah, so after being rejected for the health insurance, so the second of the problems is they went through my registration and they found that I had done a second bachelor's degree, and that gave them probable cause to think that I was lying to them. And so they've since asked me to withdraw from the program.
This was all happening in the first month of school?
Yeah, it's a little overwhelming for sure.
Wow. Well, this is unbelievable. Why didn't you mention it?
I mean, one of the problems with being an immigrant into the country is that you end up being a little bit overqualified sometimes. Mm. And I didn't really feel like it was relevant, and I wanted to just run with the one bachelor's that I had done.
It feels like you would have... It's a feeling that strips you of your opportunities, leaves you feeling like you're in the middle of nowhere, going nowhere.
Yeah, it's particularly difficult, yeah. I was really concerned about my future at this point. It's like we'd already come to a new place, and I thought that this university experience was going to be the next step. And if that falls apart, then I wasn't sure what I was going to do.
So it's a super complicated situation. It's like coming at you from all angles. You're not only an international student, but you've left your home and your previous community, which you may not be able to go back to. How'd you deal with this?
Yeah, to be honest, I didn't really have time to deal with all of it. I mean, when you're fighting the health scares and then two levels of issues at the university level, it was very difficult.
Yeah. Alex, I'm so sorry. This sounds unbelievably tough. Would you like me to continue to ask questions, or would you like to continue to talk about it?
Sure. You go through obviously feelings of depression to be, in the doldrums. When your dreams get kind of kicked out from underneath of you and you start to feel kind of lonely. My partner had gone away on a residency to another part of the country at this point, and I didn't feel like I could really lean on him the way that I needed to. I wanted him to be able to do his thing and to not have to end that and come back and support me. So,
were there moments that you felt that you were panicking as well?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you go through those episodes of feeling like there sort of is no hope for the situation. And, you spend a lot of time crying. I mean, I cried at my own kind of stupidity for doing all of this. I cried that I'd been rejected. And, yeah, it felt like there was sort of no humanity left in the process and in the world.
So if this is where your mental state is at, what kept you going? What had you saying, okay, I'm going to keep pushing?
I mean, without a shadow of a doubt, it was the ability to think positive in these kind of situations, to know that your story is not going to end in tragedy. At the same time, I'd found the story of the 52 hertz whale, and it made me realize that, you know, if this whale singing by itself out in the ocean could keep going, that, you know, that I should keep going, that I should keep telling my story to anyone that would listen to me.
Well, that sounds hopeful. Did you find anyone to listen?
I did, actually. At this point, I began to lean on both my supervisor and a trusted faculty member.
Okay. Can you tell me a little bit more about what they perhaps did?
Yeah. So both of them sort of took up the fight for me. And with their help, she started to put the pieces of the puzzle back together for me. And they were advocating for me in the university level, at the faculty level. And that made a big difference.
So you're no longer alone?
No, it was a bit of a miracle. And also I learned to ask for help, which is something that I'd never really done before in my life. You know, to find yourself in a vulnerable position and to need to lean on other people.
So did you have help also with the health side of the problems did they offer?
Yeah, so both my supervisor and the faculty member, they were able to help me on both the registration side and also the health insurance side. And so we were able to get the testing sorted out. And after all the results had come in, I'd found out that I'd been cleared. And it was a bit like winning sort of 5 lotteries at the same time. So not only had I sorted out my registration issues and my enrollment issues, but also the test came back negative, and I found out that I have a clean bill of health.
That is like a huge weight off your shoulders, yeah. Off my shoulders.
No kidding.
You know, I'm so glad to hear that has resolved itself. So I guess, Alex, what's next then for you?
I'm definitely going to keep on with the degree. And I feel like through this process, a lot of my faith in humanity has been restored. I feel like I've made a new family, and I've learned a bit more about what it means to fight for other people. And I think I'm going to channel that into how I pursue the rest of the degree.
Well, I'm really glad to hear it, Alex. Mm. I wish you all the very best in your degree. And thank you for sharing your story with us and our listeners today.
Yeah, I just want to thank 52 Hertz for having me here and letting me tell my story.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.